As long as God has had teachers and prophets in the world, there have always been people who taught falsely. Jeremiah complained about it in our scripture reading that we had. We're going to start there in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 in verse 31, or actually in 30 and 31. Jeremiah 5, starting with verse 30. It says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? Paul had the same problem. There were people out there teaching the wrong things. There were teachers in his day and time. They were trying to bind the Old Testament law upon the New Testament Christians. In Acts chapter 15, and starting with verse 1, Acts 15, starting with verse 1, it says, some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Paul even later warned the Ephesian elders that more false teachers would arise from even amongst their own number. In Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, starting with verse 29, Acts 20, starting with verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. And Jesus himself foretold that as the approaching days for the destruction of Jerusalem came, in Matthew chapter 24, he said one of the things that would be noted about that time would be the false teachers that would arise. Matthew 24, starting with verse 10. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead the many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And finally, Peter warned in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and starting with verse 1, but false prophets will also arise among the people, just as also there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. There always has been false teachers. There will always be. It is a problem that we're going to have to deal with. But I want you to think for just a moment, what is it that makes a prophet or a teacher false? Now, a prophet is a man who's inspired by God, who speaks on behalf of God. God tells him what he wants communicated. That prophet then goes out and speaks God's word. A teacher is somewhat similar. He's a man, but he's not inspired of God. But he teaches other people, instructs them in what God's word says. Basically, a prophet is the first deliverer, and the teacher is the one who continues to reinforce that idea. Now, a false prophet or teacher is not one who's... A false prophet or teacher is one who's not speaking on behalf of God. He's claiming to be someone who represents God, but he's not actually doing it. In fact, in Deuteronomy, one of the signs that people were to be aware of in dealing with false prophets is to pay attention to whether they were consistent with what was taught before. In Deuteronomy 13, starting with verse 1, it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods who you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the word of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice, serve him and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you away from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among yourselves. So when a person comes and teaches what's not what God has already taught, that's a false prophet. But not all false prophets teach false doctrine. Sometimes that makes it tricky. For instance, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul talked about some false teachers who are actually teaching the truth. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Philippians 1, verse 15, it says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Sometimes people are teaching the truth because they love the truth. Sometimes people teach the gospel to cause problems for other people. Back in Jeremiah again, this time in chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, starting with verse 14. Jeremiah 14, starting with verse 14. So the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsely in my name. I have neither spoken or sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and deceptions of their own mind. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name. Though it was not I who sent them, yet they keep on saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine these prophets shall meet their end. Here were some people also who were teaching God's doctrine. They were giving people a false sense of security. But God said, and they were claiming they were getting a message from God, and God says, I didn't even send them. They were contradicting what God prophesied. Now, when we talk about people who teach false doctrine, we're not talking about people who just because they haven't learned everything, got something wrong. That's not what we're meaning by a false teacher or a false prophet. We're not talking about somebody who just because of lack of maturity missed a point. For instance, in Galatians chapter 2, one who was not even a new Christian in that sense of the word, Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 11, concerns the Apostle Peter. He taught something that was wrong. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of the certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, lived like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Peter strayed from the truth. He wasn't teaching the truth, but at the same time, we would not normally label him as a false teacher. His drive, his sincerity, was to teach the truth. There was a certain matter he strayed off the truth and off the track. Apollos would be another example in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Acts 18, verse 24, now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard them, he took them aside, explained to him the way of the God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. He had some points wrong because he just wasn't taught all that there was to know. Yet at the same time, that we would not call him a false teacher. See, the difference between like Peter and Apollos and those we would call false teachers is neither one of these men stayed in their false doctrine. When they learned what they ought to be teaching, when they learned the truth, they followed after the truth. Yeah, they had some things wrong. But as soon as they learned it, they corrected themselves. What we know about false teachers is they won't tell the truth all the time. They'll mix it up with error. And then say that this is what God said. But they won't change either. What is it that motivates? If we understand the motivation, sometimes we can find out what's going on behind the scenes. Why do people teach false doctrine? Why not just teach what God says? Well, first off, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Everyone does not necessarily want to hear the truth. Paul basically says a lot of people, most people, don't want to hear the truth. Going back to that statement that we had in Jeremiah chapter 5, again in verse 30, I won't read it again. Jeremiah's complaint was the people loved it so when they had false prophets among them. People don't always care if the doctrine is wrong so long as it leaves them feeling good. And therein lies one of the motivations behind false teaching. It is more popular among people, especially among people who are not really striving to please God, but they really just want to do things their own way. Popularity is a form of power. These false teachers are after the power. They're after the draw. They'll say whatever is necessary so that they can gain an advantage of drawing more people. In the book of Jude, just before Revelation, Jude, and down in verse 16, there's only one chapter there. Jude, verse 16. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. And this is what you'll find among a lot of the teachers in the world. Anything to gain an advantage. Doctrine oftentimes is compromised just so that they can gain an advantage. Along with that, one of the other motivations is the gaining of money. Take a look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 10. Titus 1, verse 10. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Actually, the popularity and the money angle both go hand in hand. If you're after the money, what are you going to do? Well, you need bigger crowds so that you can get more money. Some people just want the bigger crowds, but a lot of people are out there for actually gaining extra money in their pockets. Going back to 2 Peter, one of the interesting statements, we read this earlier in chapter 2, it says in 2 Peter, we'll read this again, chapter 2, verse starting with verse 1, but false prophets were also arose among the people, just as there also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they'll exploit you with many false words. In fact, the word exploit there is the idea of making merchandise, using people for the sake of making money. People will teach false doctrine simply because it gives them more money, because it's more popular, and people will then support it. Along with the same ideas, he mentions down in verse 14, a false prophet from the Old Testament, he actually was a prophet of God. But you could label him as a false prophet because he was basically in it for the money. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey speaking with the voice of a man restrained the madness of the prophet. Balaam was in it for the money. He was willing to compromise himself as long as somebody was willing to pay him. That is something that happens quite often. In 1 Peter chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3, it says, but if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Therein lies, again, the motivation. Something that lines their pockets, something that they can make money off of. In fact, what Micah tells us, a little book at the end of the Old Testament, Micah chapter 3, and in verse 5, it says, thus is the Lord concerning the prophets who lead the people astray. When they have something to bite with their teeth, they cry peace. But against him who put nothing in their mouth, they declare holy war. Basically, they'll tell you anything that you want to hear, so long as you feed them. But if you refuse to give them money, then they'll go after you and declare war on you. One other thing also that motivates false teachers is their own personal pride. In Ezekiel chapter 13, Ezekiel chapter 13, starting with verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say those to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. Here again is a motivation. A lot of people think whatever they think, whatever thoughts cross their heads, that these must be more important than anything else. I can't tell you how many people I've run across who decide that their own ideas obviously have to be from God. And this is what is motivating these prophets. They're preaching their own imagination. Again in Jeremiah, chapter 14 and verse 14, again a verse we had read earlier, but notice again, Jeremiah 14 and in verse 14, says, the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsely in my name. I neither sent them nor commanded them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deceptions of their own mind. This is something a lot of people don't understand. Oh, we understand other people lie to us. How many people understand that we can oftentimes lie to ourselves? And people will take whatever they think and say, this is what God says. Again in Jeremiah 23, starting with verse 25. Jeremiah 23, starting with verse 25. I've heard that the prophets have said to those who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I have a dream, I have a dream. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Even those prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. Again, in the New Testament, just to show that it doesn't stop, in Jude again. Jude verse 8. So, yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. It's by their own dreams. If I can conceive it, if I think about it, if I even dream it at night, then it must be true. It's a form of pride. And we have to be on guard against false teachers. They're always going to be there. There are people out there who really don't care about the truth. They care about numbers. They care about the amount of money that comes in. They care about how big it makes them feel and look. But we as people of God have to be always on guard, always prepared, always desiring what is right. That's far more important. It may not always be the most popular. It may not be always the most profitable. Probably likely not the most profitable. And it definitely is not the way that we would conceive things. But as Paul warned in Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, and starting with verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teachings which you have learned, and to turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. We have to be careful that there are false teachers. And a lot of times it sounds so good. And it's just what you want to hear. But then therein lies sometimes the deception. I hope you'll think about these things this day. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, I would like the prayers of the brethren on their behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the songs of love.